Pastor Jeff Johnson describes the pathway to God's blessings.
Let God's word cleanse you and wake you up to what God's will is, because then you'll start doing God's will and be blessed of God. You see, when we walk His way is when we're going to be blessed. When we realize that not only hearing, but doing is a big deal, then it starts to click. And then we start to get blessed. And it gets better and better and better.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
In any building project, a good solid foundation is important. And the same is true for the church. Jesus is that solid rock and foundation for the church and our lives. Question is, are you building on the right foundation? Well, join us in 1 Peter chapter 2 here on Sound Doctrine as Pastor Jeff delivers part 1 of his message, He is Our Rock, of course referring to the Lord Jesus.
Peter chapter 2 this morning, and as you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to read to you a little parable that Jesus gave to us in Matthew 7. You don't have to turn there, but this is about two foundations. And Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." What a parable. That's really what we're getting into this morning as we open up our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, Peter is occupied with our spiritual growth. Everybody needs milk, right? And we talked about milk. We talked about babies. We talked about grown-ups. We talked about the need for meat. And he said, "Taste and see. The Lord is good." And he's asking many of you this morning to do just that, to taste and see, because he is good. But don't turn away. And you'll hear that in Peter's message this morning. In verse 4 is where we left off. He says, "And to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." That word precious is a word that Peter loved, that Paul, you know, also used, and we're going to find that Isaiah used it too. But over there in chapter 1, if you'll look in verse 7, he says, "That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold." Our faith, precious, more precious than gold. I love it. "So as we come," he says in verse 4, "and draw near and humble ourselves," we know that James says he lifts us up when we do that. And Paul spoke of this body ministry in Ephesians. He talked about how we are the body of Christ and Christ is the head. But now Peter is changing it a little bit, giving us another description of a living stone or a house where Jesus is the head. Rejected by men, chosen of God. Over in Isaiah, you can just jot this one down, Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. There's a description of the Lord in the Old Testament, Isaiah 42, 1. Behold my servant, talking about Jesus, whom I uphold, mine elect, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. So speaking of his son, coming and being that rock, you know, and being that one. Peter's revelation of Jesus in Matthew 16 is so interesting. You can jot this one down, Matthew 16, verse 15. This is the time where he's in Caesarea Philippi. We're going to bring our group there and when we go to Israel in Caesarea Philippi, and we're going to go through this, and it's so powerful. But it says in verse 15, he said unto them, whom say ye that I am? And so they each explained who everybody was saying, who they think, you know, Jesus is. You're John the Baptist, come alive. You're Jeremiah. And then he said, and then it says that Simon Peter immediately stood up and he answered, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's powerful because Jesus said, you're right, Peter. That's exactly right. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. You just had a revelation, and you're right on. And he hit the nail right on the head because Jesus said, and he goes on to say, and upon you, Peter, upon this little stone, upon your confession right here, and upon this rock, I, in front of the Petra that they were in front of Mount Hermon at the time, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, Jesus was saying, Peter, you're right on. That confession that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'm going to build my church on that. And so here we are, the church, built on Jesus Christ, that foundation, that rock that God sent in his Son. And so he is the rock. The Jews disapproved of who he was and who he is. His friends, and they said, he hangs around with publicans and sinners. And he scorns our oral traditions. He wouldn't bow to our Sabbath rituals. I mean, he actually did things on the Sabbath that really upset them. He exposed their hypocrisy. And then, on top of it all, he raises Lazarus from the dead and really slapped him one, you know. What are you doing, raising the dead, you know, getting angry here? What's interesting is they rejected him. They plotted his death. Here he is, chosen of God, precious, precious. Do you remember Michelangelo's discovery of David? He found a piece of marble thrown to the side, grown over with weeds, lost to anybody. And as he went searching, he saw this piece of marble, and in his mind's eyes, he created David, that statue that stands there today. You know, I mean, one of his masterpieces. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The world looks at this whole thing of Jesus in an interesting way. Back in Isaiah again, 53, in verse 2 of Isaiah, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This is talking about Jesus. And as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The world today doesn't desire Jesus. They don't desire in what he did. They look at it like, whoa, what a tragedy. They crucified him. He died. They don't even understand what really took place. And so they look at it like a fairy tale or something like that. Or, you know, it means nothing to them. But unto us, oh man, it means so much. He is more precious than gold. Notice verse 5 of 1 Peter 2. Ye also, as living stones, literally living little stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So first we come, and then we become. What do you mean, we become? We become living stones, a spiritual house. Remember what Jesus said? Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Upon this confession of faith. So our bodies become his temple. I love that scripture in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 16. Jot it down. It's a powerful, powerful verse. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. He says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" Of course, nothing. "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God's plan was to live in his creation, his created beings, in humanity. And he worked out a plan that was perfect. And as Christ died, he ascended. He then sent the Holy Spirit, and those that make that confession of faith, God's Spirit comes to dwell within us. We are his bride. We are the church. And he loves the church. He loves us this morning. He loves us as we gather together. He shows up every time where two or three are gathered. He's in the midst. Over in Romans chapter 11, in verse 25, it says, Paul kind of chiding the Romans, and he says, "For I would not have, brethren, have you to be ignorant of this mystery." I want you to understand his plan. "Lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel." They're blinded. They don't see Jesus as their Messiah. And they're having a hard time. Every once in a while, a Jew will come to the Lord and say, "He's my Messiah." Every once in a while. But mostly, they're blind, just like the Bible says. Until, in this verse, this is until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. In other words, he's talking about there's this number that God has of the final Gentile that's going to get saved and become part of the bride, and the bride is finished. Everything has been put together. The last one came in, and all of a sudden, we're out of here, gone. And then Israel will open up their eyes and their ears, and they'll behold their Messiah. And it says that, the next verse says that all Israel shall be saved. I love this. But now he's talking about us being in a priesthood. This is really a holy priesthood, a spiritual house. And this word priesthood is interesting in that only through the Mosaic code, the tribe of Levi, there's specifics here to be a priest. A family of Aaron, it's a priestly caste, if you will. I mean, this is a special group. But all of this disappears when Jesus comes. He becomes the high priest. We become priests and kings in this world. You say, "Well, what are you talking about?" Well, it makes everything in the Old Testament. You see, when Jesus died, the temple veil was torn from the top to the bottom. That holy place was opened up, and now we get to go in at any time. There's nothing stopping us. In other words, the Old Testament becomes obsolete. It becomes null and void as far as the rituals and all of the sacrifices that were being given and all that. We don't do any of that. That was the past to give us a type and a shadow of that which was coming. But it was just a type and a shadow. It wasn't the real. And the real came and dwelt among us. And here's a good one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. This is what he says. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have a high priest that left us, but he's saying that we are now to be priests. And Revelation 5:10 says we are now kings and priests. Hebrews 10, mark this one down, verse 19, he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, into his presence. We can come into the presence of God at any time. Why? Because we are now priests, and they could come in to that presence. A new and living way, though. It's not through the way of the Old Testament. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a pure heart, our true heart, full of assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, not wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. And so that whole thing of being a priest, that whole thing of what Peter's talking about, having spiritual sacrifices. What are these sacrifices that we're going to give to the Lord? Well, it makes it clear that these sacrifices are like of prayer. We're to intercede for others. We're to pray for our family. We're to pray for our brothers and sisters, our moms and our dads. Over in Romans chapter 12, he says, I beg of you, therefore, brethren, in verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. After all he's done for us, he gave his son. So we present ourselves as servants. That's what we are when we receive him as Lord and Savior. We're his servants. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and prove, and you'll be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let God's word cleanse you and wake you up to what God's will is, because then you'll start doing God's will and be blessed of God. You see, when we walk his way is when we're going to be blessed. When we realize that not only hearing, but doing is a big deal, then it starts to click, and then we start to get blessed, and it gets better and better and better. The closer we come, the more we hunger, the more we thirst for righteousness, the more we get into the book, the more we are blessed of the Lord, and we're able to then function out there fully as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's important. That's what people need to see. They need to see mature men and women of God. Men and women that love God more than anything else, that have given their bodies as a sacrifice unto the Lord and sold out. And yet, God provides everything after that. We're good soldiers, and we obey. And because we obey, he says, I'll take care of you. You get all the uniforms you need. You get all the food you need. I'll even set you up in the battle, and I'll give you victory. And, you know, I mean, he's a good general, and he takes care of his troops. Test him on this. But that's part of the sacrifices. Then the sacrifice of praise. I love what Hebrews 13, verse 15 says. Hebrews 13, verse 15. He says, by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. You know, the priest's job was to give that sacrifice of praise. They would sing praises unto the Lord. That's why we worship God. To God continually, do it continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, don't forget it. For such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so we come, we give our bodies as sacrifice, we give our praise as sacrifice. And then as we proclaim the word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we actually are allowing the Lord to use us as mouthpieces to give the word, to give the gospel to those that are in need. So we're called to represent God We are His ambassadors. Our ministry is simply an extension of His ministry. I mean, He was here as the priest. We're here now to pray. We're here now to give out the good news. We're here now to help others understand what this whole thing is all about. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 6, he says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved." See, we've been accepted in the beloved. What did Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 5? He says, to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the way we're accepted in the beloved.
We'll pause right here, but there's more to come today, so don't rush away. This is Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. He's in the midst of a study in 1 Peter. If you enjoyed today's message, hear it again online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Then share it with a friend. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. This month, we are featuring a book from a friend in the ministry. It's Pastor Ed Taylor's latest book, and it's a good one. It's called God's Help for the Troubled Heart. I don't have to convince you that people are suffering in large measure all around us. And maybe you have been too. You've been laid off at work, or you recently got the virus, or are disturbed by what's happening in the recent election. You're anxious and greatly troubled. Well, God wants to meet you right where you're at. And this book will remind you that Jesus will bring you through your trial. And you're not alone. Request a copy of God's Help for the Troubled Heart today. It's available for $15 for a limited time. You can order online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us 800-353-7553. And anything given above that amount will help us continue on this radio station and others like it. Thank you for your generous support. We're constantly hearing of men and women that are growing and benefiting through the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. And you're helping to make that possible with a financial gift today. Again, visit sounddoctrineradio.org. In radio, it's not always so easy to identify who's listening and where, but that is where you can help as well. Email us today and let us know the station you listen to, and if you appreciate this series in 1 Peter. You can put a smile on our face as you do. Our email is sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. All right, we left off a moment ago in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Let's return to Pastor Jeff now.
Now, notice verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. So here we go. We're getting back to the Word here. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. There's that word again. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded, will not be put to shame. Israel or the church, it doesn't matter. Whoever believes will not be ashamed. Over in Isaiah chapter 28, listen to this. Isaiah's got some neat things to share. And this is out of verse 16 of chapter 28. He says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone," he says, "a tried stone." This one's been tried over and over again, tested, tested, tested. And then he says, "a precious cornerstone." He likes that word precious too. "A sure foundation." I like that. It's sure. You can count on Him. He will never forsake you, never fail you. That's what kind of God we serve. And then he says, "He that believeth shall not make haste or be ashamed." That's important. So their world at that time when Isaiah wrote this was literally falling apart. The northern kingdom was swept away by the Assyrians. If you know anything of the Assyrians, it was a lifestyle of being tortured the rest of your life. They would put you into strange lands. I mean, with all kinds of strange, seductive philosophies. Places where you never heard your own language. This is God's judgment upon them. And Isaiah is just simply, you know, saying along with the other prophets, we need to get back to the scripture. We need to get back to the word. We have fallen short. We're away from God. God's trying to get our attention here. Do you think?
The rest of this message is coming your way next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. Presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey and made possible through your generous support. So, Father.